This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I'll be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. There we go. Now, God is good, right? Yes, all the time, right? And all the time? That's right. So in life, we all want to have nothing but those mountain peak experiences, right? No one ever wants to go through those moments where we find ourselves in the valley trying to figure things out, right? So real life, though, is not like Hollywood movies. You know, a lot of times they're very action-packed field movies where you're riding on your motorcycle from one cliff to another and everything is done in 60 seconds. You know, no storm lasts longer than a 90-minute movie, right? But sometimes life is not, that's not how real life is, right? But anyone besides me ever find yourself stepping out on faith because you know that you clearly heard God, but it seems like, you know, you got the green light, but it's not coming together as quickly as you had hoped? Like, you know, you only move because God said move. But I'm like, okay, God, I move, but you're not moving, you know? And then how many have ever heard the saying, if you build it, they will come, right? So you step out in faith and you make this, you start this business and they ain't coming. You know, what do you do when, you know God said, go ahead, move forth with this business, but, you know, it's not booming as fast as you thought it was going to boom. You know, it's not taking off like you thought it was going to take off. It's not the overnight success that you hoped. So what do you do in the meantime? You've been approached, you know, to, thank you, I hear you over there answering my question. You've been approached to apply, you know, for this promotion on your job because you're the best one, you're the best fit for the job. So you apply for this job and now you realize that there's a little bit more to this pay increase than they told you. Woohoo! Now you gotta work with all these people who are unmotivated, always complaining, you know, they don't wanna be team players. What do you do in the meantime? So that's the type of topic of my lesson today, is in the meantime. What do we do in the meantime? So we're going to read about a familiar person in Scripture who had been given a promise through a dream, but had an interesting series of life events before he would see the fulfillment of this promise. I believe this story is going to encourage us today and remind us that in the meantime, God is with us. So let's go to Genesis chapter 39, verses 1. We're going to read verse 1 through 6. Genesis 39, 1 and 6 says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home. Hold on, I was looking at the clock and I lost my place. Okay, as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant, and he put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All of his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. So here we see a man named Joseph who had been purchased as a slave by Potiphar, one of King Pharaoh's captains. It's interesting because Joseph was placed in this position because of the envious decision of his brothers. If we back up to chapter 37, we see where Joseph had this dream that the sun, the moon, and all the stars bowed down to him. And the sun, the moon, and the stars are a representation of his family bowing down before him. But clearly, Joseph didn't know anything about his family. He didn't know them because he was all happy sharing his dream, hoping they were going to rejoice with him about the fact that they were one day going to be his servants. He didn't know them like he thought he knew them. They're like, what kind of delusional individual are you? Like, dude, we come from the same cloth. I'm about to you. No, sir, I don't think so, right? So his brothers got jealous, and they plotted to kill him. And so as they were going forth with the scheme, his oldest brother, Reuben, said, wait a minute, I'm a businessman. Let's not just kill him, because if we kill him, we won't make anything. But let's at least make some money off this joker, right? So they decide to sell him into slavery. So I'm encouraged by the story, not because that he was sold into slavery, but I'm encouraged by the story because even though Joseph found himself in a very unfortunate place in his life, he did not allow his current situation to change his perspective or his actions. He still operated from a servant's heart and did things in excellence because he had an understanding of who was with him. So just like we read that God was with Joseph during his hard situation, I'm here to remind you today that the Lord is with you even now. The Lord is with you while you may be experiencing heartache. The Lord is with you while you may be praying about what's next. The Lord is with you while you still have your dreams on your vision board. You are not alone because God is with you and you cannot fail. Amen. He's with you and you cannot fail. So how many points do you guys think I have today? Wrong. I'm kind of like Pastor, but today it ain't one of them kind of lessons, all right? I will say I have 1 point, but I have 3 sub-points under 1 point, all right? But I have 1 point, and the point I want to drive home today is you have to hold your course. You have to hold your course. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 in NIV says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Amen. Pastor always tells us, if I'm willing to wait forever, guess what? It ain't gonna take that long, right? But I gotta be willing to wait. Don't forget who is with you. Subtopic number 1, or letter A. Don't forget who is with you. We read in verse 2 that the Lord was with Joseph, right? Joseph's a slave in Potiphar's house, but the Lord was with him to the degree that everything that was under Joseph's leadership and accountability, God blessed it. And it was so much so that Potiphar took note of it and said, "There's something special about this man. I'm going to turn everything, all my stuff over to him because everything he touches, it just turns to gold," right? So this teaches us the principle that if you're faithful over little, he'll make you ruler over much. Don't discredit the amount of free time you have to offer to the kingdom. Even if it's just 1 Sunday a month, guess what? God sees the faithfulness in that 1 Sunday a month. Even if it's just, 30 minutes on the parking lot during summer blast, God sees the faithfulness in the small things. Don't wait till you get up here to try to start doing something, because really by then you're like, "Nah, I got too much to do anyway." But no, we're going to start out where we are and allow the Holy Spirit to see that, I can't be counted faithful. Amen. Get consistent right on the level where you are, because somebody's going to notice, you always on time. I'm going to give you a little bit more I'm going to entrust a little bit more to your hands because I can count on you. I know every Sunday at 8:30 you're going to be on post. So I'm going to let you do something more. Why? Because I can count on you. So Joseph was somebody that God saw because God was with him. So Potiphar was able to entrust more to his hands. And when you show up, a lot of times people don't see all of who is with you. They see the personal representative, but they don't see the God that's on the inside of you, the God that's backing you, the God that is with you, the God that is helping you. They only see Conte, but no, there's a God on the inside of me that's helping me do everything I have to do. So you are never, ever alone. God is with you, and you cannot fail. Amen. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed," or "don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Joshua 1 and 9 says, "This is my command to you, to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God," what? "Is with you wherever you go." So you can do whatever it is that God has called you to do. But you cannot doubt your ability because, again, you're not going in your own ability. You're not going in your own might. You're not going in your own strength, but I'm going in the strength of Almighty God. Amen. You might be considered, as I like to call it, a country bumpkin. It don't matter. Somebody from the South. I'm proud to be from Georgia, okay? My accent is still there. I try to change it. It won't go nowhere, right? One thing I've been trying to do lately is speak slower. I tell people, I hear everything I say. I know you say I talk fast, but that's okay. I know what I said, right? So, but anyways, but but at the end of the day, I might be a country bumpkin. It don't matter. Or you may be a country bumpkin. You may not have an 800 credit score. That doesn't matter. Somebody, they don't need to know all about you. They don't know why you got in that room. It doesn't matter how I got here. You just need to know that I'm here now. And so they're going to find out soon and very soon how I got into this room. You could be on Wall Street. It don't matter. God placed you there for a reason. If he placed you there, you have everything you need to be successful in that thing. Amen? So Joseph was a slave. But because of who was with him, he was able to far excel all of the other slaves because he chose to maximize his situation. And when God is with you, you can do things that others cannot do. Why? Because they're not like us. They're not like us, right? We have a power on the inside of us to do things that others cannot do. So don't assume that because you may be in some uncomfortable places or unknown places that God has abandoned you. The Lord was with Joseph in the pit and in the prison. So surely he is with you as you pray for your next move. Surely he is with you as you raise and train your children. Surely he is with you as you navigate working with people who keep trying to get on your next to last nerve. He is with you, right? God is with you and you cannot fail. It has to work because he's with me. It has to work out for my good. The plan I've been praying over, the plan I've been sowing over, it's got to work out. You've been believing for debt freedom. Guess what? As long as you do your part, it has to happen, right? The body that keeps trying to act up and keep trying to give you pain where you can't rest at night, it's got to line up with the word of God. Why? Because 39 stripes were already taken for my healing. So everything that I have been praying about, it has got to come forth in my life today. Because I know who's with me. Subtopic letter B. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Amen. You got to keep your faith. Hold on to your faith because that's what the enemy's after. I love the song they sang earlier that I don't have to worry. Why? Because I know who's with me. So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop dreaming. I'm not going to stop doing my part. Because why? Mark 9:23 tells me that if I can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Joseph had every opportunity to accept his current situation as his final end. This is just my portion. I'm going to just go ahead and die here taking care of everybody else's stuff. But that's not what God showed him. That's not what God told him, right? God showed him that others were going to be serving him. So he didn't have to start selling because that's what he saw with his natural eyes. We never saw in that scripture that it said that Joseph griped or complained, had a bad attitude, or saying stuff like, dog, you know, God, you show me that I'm going to be ruling. Why am I over here still cleaning toilets? Why am I over here still serving everybody else? That's not what you showed me. He never became resentful. He served with a spirit of excellence, and he was always on time doing it with a joyous heart. He was consistent. He was dependable. He was faithful on the level where he was with no visible indication that he would ever see his dream come into manifestation. He never saw at that moment, this is all I see is me serving other people. But he had to realize, you know, I cannot let what I see constantly abort what God had already shown me that was mine, amen? And one reason I believe he did not get discouraged is because God never showed him that part of the dream. God never showed him that he would be in the palace working for somebody else. The dream showed him that there were going to be people who were going to be working for him. So I believe that that's what Joseph had to keep before him, is what God had showed him. Amen? So God never showed Joseph he would have a pit experience. He never showed him being sold into slavery. He never showed him that he would be thrown into prison. But what he showed him was that he would be in a palace, and that was the only thing that Joseph would receive, that people would be serving him. Amen? And that is what Joseph kept believing in, that God, I know what you showed me, and that's what I'm going to keep focused on in the meantime. And one thing we have to remember is most of the time we don't wake up to the manifestation of what has been promised. We don't wake up overnight to that manifestation. Well, I believe that because I have an amazing husband, I have things that happen for me overnight because he just makes all my dreams come true in the natural because he's just amazing like that. But a wonderful thing about God is if you're in the natural, yeah, it may be a process of time, but you got to make sure you keep your attitude right during the process. Amen. We can't just start complaining about how much longer, God. How much longer? Are you sure this is what you said? We can't start doubting what we know God has already clearly told us to do. Amen? So I love this about, I love Joseph's outlook on life. Joseph was up in Potiphar's house bawling. He was up in there running the place, right? He was up in there and he was up in there, I'm sorry. He was in the palace and he was controlling everything, right? I had to catch myself, you know? Okay. Pastor, like, begging for yourself. I try not to be myself sometimes because, you know, I try not to be. But he was in the palace. I really wasn't trying to say it that time. But he was in the palace, and he had all these people that he was over. Why? Because he was found faithful, right? So it's almost like he was already living in where God had told him he was going to be. Even though he was not the head, he was in a lot, and he had a level of control and authority where others were doing what he told them to do, right? So it's like God was saying, you know what? You can, even in a situation, if you have the right perspective, you can win. even though you are technically still a slave, you're technically still a prisoner, but because he had the right perspective and he had the right attitude, he was still able to get into authority places that other prisoners and slaves did not get into because he had the right perspective. So just like Joseph kept living, even though he was in a different place, you have to keep living as well. In the meantime, you got to keep dreaming. In the meantime, you got to keep believing. Why? Because it's all about your perspective. It can be bad or it can be good, but that's up to you of whatever choice you make. Amen? But because what the enemy wants you to do is abort the plan of God for your life by causing you to accept his plan because God's plan seems to be delayed. He wants you to think that because it's taken forever, that you know what? Maybe God is not, he really didn't say that. But no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to keep our eyes focused on what God has already told us to do, realizing that it may be a delayed response in our life or in our mind. But how many know that God's timing is not our timing? But, you know, his timing is perfect and it's always on time, right? So the enemy likes to throw obstacles in our way, attempting to derail our faith, hoping that we would give up on the plans and purposes that God has for our life. But scripture tells us in Hebrews 6 that we are to imitate those who through what? Faith and patience inherit what he has already promised us. It's going to take time, but we have got to urge the temptation. We have got to resist the temptation to quit, right? We have got to resist the temptation to quit. Faith requires patience and obedience in doing what you know is right to do until what the thing manifests in your life. So I'm going to keep doing what I know is right. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep being obedient. I'm going to keep my faith. I'm not going to abort God's plan because it may be delayed in my eyes. Amen. We have pressed beyond the discomfort because guess what? This too is going to pass. It won't always be like this. So don't let your dreams and aspirations settle to the bottom because you're afraid to make the next step. Denise, if you'll go ahead and get that bottle for me, that jar for me. I have a little illustration I want to show you about settling, because a lot of times that's what the enemy wants us to do, is to settle. He wants us to, okay, it ain't seeming to work, so I'm just going to go ahead and just do something else. Maybe I didn't hear God clearly, so let me just go ahead and just take this route, because this is okay, this will do, but is that what God said, right? He wants us to settle for something less than what God had already originally planned for us to have. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So here we cannot allow our fear to cause us to forfeit our dreams, because fear is basically just false evidence appearing real. It's just false evidence that seems to be real, but it's not real at all. It may seem real because of what we're going through, but it's not real at all. So how many like to drink? Well, when I was younger and I was in my less healthier days, I loved me some good chocolate milk. I mean, it was just like the thing to drink is chocolate milk, right? And so what happens with chocolate milk, sometimes when I was being a little lazy, I would go ahead and buy the bottle already pre-mixed. But to me, the best one is when you get to make it at home and you get your little spoon, not a teaspoon, but a tablespoon, and you get the syrup, you just kind of just keep adding it to the jar. And so what happens is, I made this last night because I just wanted to have for an illustration. So as you can see, where's the camera? That one. You see all that goodness at the bottom? That's a good right there. Like if I took a drink right now, it'd be okay. You know, but all the good stuff is at the bottom. So what we have to do with time, you got to start stirring it up, because I believe what God is saying for us is we got to go back to stirring up the gift that's on the inside of us. We cannot allow what God has called us to do to just begin to settle at the bottom. He said, don't settle for what's at the bottom. Mix that thing up and get what I've already commanded you to have. Amen. So a lot of times, you know, weapons try to form in our lives. But guess what? I got to remind myself, no, it may form, but it can't prosper in my life. We got to stir up the word of God that's on the inside of us. Because the word is there, amen. So every time the enemy tries to throw something at me, it don't matter. My God's going to raise a standard against him. He's not going to overtake me, right? So in the meantime, what are we going to do? We're going to keep stirring up all the good stuff, right? And if I don't live a stirred life, that's when fear takes over. When I don't live my life stirred up for God, that's when fear is able to come in. And the scripture told us here in verse 7, he has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. But when I don't live stirred up, fear takes over. And when fear takes over, I don't live a life that's filled with power. I don't live a life that's filled with love. And I don't live a life that has where my mind is sound, right? And that power is when I walk into a room, that means, you know what? Everything has to change. For the good, you know? Some people walk in the room like, nah, dog, that ain't come. No, we don't want that type of atmosphere, right? But when I walk into a room, because I'm stirred up, I come with power. I come with love. I come with, you know what? Things have to change around me. Why? Because I know who's on the inside of me, right? Because everything has to change around me. When I step in, joy comes in, right? When I step in, peace comes in. Why? Because that's what's on the inside of me, because I've been stirred up, so all the good stuff is mixed all within me. That love is not dormant. No, my love is not dormant. I'm gonna love everybody, right? I don't care how they look. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they act. That's on them. You know what I mean? Because I'm gonna live my life straight up where I can walk in power and authority that's already given to me. I'm gonna walk in love, right? I can deal with people where they are. Again, that's their issue. All I can do is present God. If they don't want to receive it, that's on them. But you know what? I'm going to be loving to everybody. Amen? So again, we don't want to have the person, we don't want to be the person who does not operate in power. We don't want to be the person who don't operate in love, right? But we want to make sure that we have a sound mind. I pray for my mind every day. That you know what? God, I make good decisions. I'm not moved by my emotions. But you know, Father God, you help me make the right decision for my family. Because why? I want to be a good representation of you in the earth. Amen? My emotions are not leading me, right? I'm not emotionally led. No, I am led by the word of God. Amen. I make calculated decisions. I'm not drifting to and fro, unstable. No, Father God, where you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Because I want to be the person that when they come into the room, they want to be around me. All right. So in the meantime, I'm going to keep my life stirred. Right. That means I'm going to let the word of God be the final authority in my life. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to choose to have a great attitude. I won't focus on the negative, but the positive. I'm going to live by faith and experience all that God has for me. Because the moment I stop stirring, that's when things begin to separate and seep to the bottom. That's when all the, like I said, all the fat is at the top. I want the sugar and the fat mixed together, right? And when I taste this, I want it to be flavorful, right? But Joseph could have become complacent. He could have gotten settled in his current situation. As a servant in the prison, you know, and had positions that none of the other prisoners had. He could have said, no, you know what, I'm good. Shoot, I don't want all that responsibility of being at the top. Let them handle that. You know what I mean? But Joseph's like, no, that's not what God showed me. God showed me, no, they're going to be bowing to me. And so you know what, I'm going to keep my life stirred up. I'm going to keep myself in the position to receive what God has already shown me that belongs to me. He waited 13 years for the fulfillment of that dream to come to pass. 13 years he kept stirring. So I'm going to keep myself stirred. I'm going to keep being mixed up so good that every time someone comes and in contact with me, it'll be sweet, it'll be loving, it'll be encouraging. And when I'm living a stirred up life, I'm not highlighting the faults and flaws of others, because I realize I'm not perfect myself, and I got to keep working on myself. I got to keep stirring up my own love, right? I got to keep stirring up my own peace, right? Because love doesn't settle at the bottom of the jar, because right now I can't let it settle, because if I let it settle, I might go off, right? If I let my faith settle at the bottom, you know, my faith becomes weak, and the enemy says that he that faints in the day of adversity, his strength is small. So I don't want to faint when things come my way. No, I want to be strong. I want to know I can handle this. Why? Because I'm not in my own power. I'm not in my own might. I can handle all this. Why? Because I remember who I am, right? So somebody say, don't stop stirring. Don't stop stirring. So Joseph lived a stirred life, and everything he touched prospered. So how do you live a stirred life? I'm so glad you asked. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, the Passion Translation says, be diligent in devouring the word of God. The word of God is our roadmap for everyday living. So be diligent in devouring the word of God, not what you hear on the news, not what you see around you, not what you see on Facebook or Twitter or whatever you watch or listen to. But you know what? Let me turn that off. And let me let the word speak for me, amen? Because when we allow the word to lead us, it will keep us from being emotionally led. Therefore, we won't be up today and down tomorrow. We won't be unstable as water, right? But according to Deuteronomy chapter 30, we will live a life that is multiplied because the Lord has blessed it. So I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I'm living my life in a way that pleases God, because I realize that in the meantime, he's with me. So I don't go through life thinking I'm alone. Even though sometimes you may feel lonely, like, God, does anybody see me? Does anybody realize what I'm going through? He does. He's right there with you, but you have to allow him to help you in those moments. Amen. So but let's go home. You came in right on time, Courtney. You in the spirit. I love it. Yes. But we're going to go home. But we're going to pray today that we choose to live this life that is stirred up today. I don't want all the goodness to be at the bottom of the glass. I want it to be all well mixed up on the inside of me. That way that when others see me, they want to experience the God that I have. Amen. I don't want to be somebody that, you know, I don't know who's here today. Who showed up this morning? Is that you or is that the other personality? No, it's just me and God. That's all you're going to ever experience is me and God. Amen? So let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that has come forth. We thank you, Father God, that as we commit to live a life that is stirred up for you and a life that is pleasing to you, that you will be glorified out of all that we say. You'll be glorified out of all that we do. And we thank you, Father God, as we make the decision to just follow your lead and follow your way. You will openly bless us for all that we do for you in private. We thank you, Father God, for the hearts that are here today. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to present him to you today. If you're here in the room on this morning or either watching online, Jesus is the absolute best thing that has ever happened to any of us that are here. And according to Romans 10 and 9, you can have the same experience for Christ if you just confess your sins, that Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead on this morning. The scripture goes on to say that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that really means is that if you believe that God has sent his only begotten son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you are willing to repent of your sins. That word repent just simply means to make a U-turn. I was going this way, but God, I realized that you have the better way, the best way for my life. The Bible declares that every man that comes to Christ is a new creature, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So your past is simply just that. It's your past on this morning. So maybe you're here and you want to receive Christ into your life, or you want to rededicate your life to Christ. You've tried Jesus, and you kind of find yourself in a place where, you know, I didn't do some things quite right. That's okay. We all have messed up at one point in time in our lives. But God, Jesus is so faithful to receive us back into himself on today. I want you to know that God is not mad at you, but he loves you so very much. And he knew that you would be here today to hear this word, to get yourself back in a position to please him on today. So maybe you're a Christian, you just need to repent. Again, we believe that repentance does not put you at the back of the line, but it simply puts you back in line to receive all that God has for you on today. Or maybe you're here, you want to answer the appeal for church membership. You want to come to a place where all of your spiritual needs can be met. Well, I want to just suggest Without Limits Christian Center to you today. We are a church of just people that love God, and we're not ashamed of him, and we just love people for where they are. So if you want to become a part of this church, we just welcome you in, and we already consider you as family on today. So if you're here, you want to answer the appeal for salvation, rededication, or church membership, it's quite simple. There is a connection card located in the seat pocket in front of you. There is a link in the caption above if you're watching us online. There's a QR code on that connection card. Just simply fill out that connection card, as we want to help you get all of your spiritual needs met today. So if you're here and you want to fill out the actual card and paper, the ushers are in the aisles and they have an ink pen for you. That way you can fill out your card if you want to do it manually. But again, if you're here and you want to answer those appeals, we want to connect with you. We want to help you get all of your spiritual needs met today. So there's a prayer that we pray together as a family. And we say it together because we believe that it's going to help the person to the left and to the right of us. So if you're here today, repeat after me and say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior, he's my Lord, and I always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for all that you've done in this place today. We ask you to continue to bless us indeed for all that we've done. We thank you, Father God, for your presence that is here. We just ask you just to continue to rain down your favor and joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise on this morning?